take off in 2016, expecting great change. Great change. Good change. When God does something, He does it right. And He does it good. Go back in Genesis. How many times everything He did, He said, He looked at it and said, "That's pretty good." Now, He didn't say pretty. He said, "That's good." A lot of times we say, "That's pretty good." No, He said, "That's good." And He got down to the sixth day, He created man. Man and woman, same thing. In His image and in His likeness. And He said, "We good." Amen. You good. You in His image. You got to be good. Filled with His Spirit. No darkness. It's all good. But we had an enemy out there. Pride was lifted up in his heart, and he wanted to take that good that we knew and replace it with evil. And he got us deceived for a couple thousand years until Jesus set the record straight and made the great exchange. He exchanged himself to become sin so that we could be exchanged into the righteousness of God in him. He bought us back. Bought us back with his precious blood. But this year, 2016, expect great changes. And today, we're going to focus on your finances. My finances. The church's finances. Expect great change. We say, "Well, Pastor, I'm doing pretty good." Let's do better. God likes pretty good. He likes good. But He's always looking for increase. Because there's somebody out there that needs help. Amen. And if I got my needs met, and that's all I've got, I'm really not prospering the way He wants me to. Because true prosperity is to have to give. It's what I am able to give to others. That's true prosperity. If I just got my needs met and don't have enough to give, that's not prospering the way God wants me to. He wants you to have a great every day, every year, to be great in every area of our lives, but specifically talking about your finances. There's a spiritual law that cannot be broken. It's been set for everything that we receive from God. Everything. Let's go to Galatians 6. We're going to be in the old and be in the new, but let's turn to the book of Galatians first. 2 Corinthians, Galatians, chapter 6. You in the book of Galatians this week, Kelsey? She's smiling like she's been studying that book. It's kind of like, I think the Lord's going to minister something to all of us today. Also to me. I tell you, I receive the greatest revelations when I start teaching the Word of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the anointing right now, Lord, to minister your Word, to stand in this office and minister and deliver to your people what you would have them to know today concerning life, concerning liberty, and concerning your Spirit, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for that anointing, Lord, that ministers life, right, raises the dead, Lord, things in our life that are dead. We thank you that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for resurrection power in our finances in Jesus' name. But in Galatians chapter 6, verses 6, verse 10, this is talking about being generous and doing good. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man, woman, sows, that shall he or she also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap life everlasting? No. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, capital S, Spirit of God, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There's that everlasting life again. Let us not grow weary in well-doing while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. Is that the end of it? If we faint not. If we faint not. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith, your brother and your sister in the Lord. Now, there's a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Everything we have operates in this world by this law of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. We're talking about this on Wednesday night Bible study. We're talking about finances, so we need to go ahead and just continue it on and expand on it a little bit in here. Because, see, the Lord Jesus operated in all fivefold ministry. The apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet. He operated in them all. So as we teach over here, and then I believe the preaching comes over here too. Through me, he uses, and he's going to use you too to help others to teach. They need to know about sowing and reaping. Now, this is a process. It takes time, say time, time to see the end result. Anybody had children? Mama, when Mama knew she was pregnant, it took a little time. There was a process. A process came. We can't microwave a financial miracle. We can't microwave it. See, we're a microwave society. I want it. I want it now. Well, once a woman gets pregnant, it's going to take at least 9 months. You can't rush that process. You want that baby fully developed, right? Fully developed, spirit, soul, and body. Don't rush it. God knew what he was doing, right? It was good. Everything he created, it was good. He hasn't changed. See, we're talking about the year of great change for us, but he's never changed. He is great. He is the great I am. He changes not. I am the Lord. I change not, he says. See, we're not trying to change him. We're trying to let his change change us to conform to his image. Amen. Sherry, is that okay? Can you come on up here? Don't sit down. Because we're talking about change. So she came in at the exact time. But I want her to share what she wanted, just a little bit about that change that we're going to be talking about this year.
I don't have this plan, but he had mentioned after we started working on the play somewhere that he was going to start the year off ministering on change. And I thought that was very interesting because the day of the play, I had Miss Lisa read out of the First John about the word. And afterwards, I was originally going to read it and then talk about it, but I didn't bring my glasses. I don't have them either today to read, so I won't be reading it. But you know, when we think about Christmas, you know, that was, and then we hear about the great plan or the great year that we have. That was what it was all about. Jesus came. I mean, he left everything that he had, which was deity. He left, and he came to change the situation that we were in. He came to make what was wrong right. And so when the word became flesh, that was the celebration of the great change. That's why everybody was rejoicing. Things had changed. Now, people did not understand it, but the angels knew it. God knew it, that this was his great plan. See, love looked down and saw and said, "Ooh, I love them too much to leave them in that situation." So love will not keep you the way you are today. And I know we're all in different areas, you know, walking in the walk of love in the Lord, and we're all growing up in our faith, but God loves you too much for you to stay the way that you are right now. And some of us are living in lots of blessings, but he still loves us too much to keep us just right there. Okay, he wants the church to go on. He came to make things right. And we don't understand all those things that he made. That's why the word that is so important for us to get into it every day and put it in our hearts and, you know, let the word abide in you. Okay, and abide, I was talking to Robert. We was talking about it last night. When I looked it up in the Greek and stuff, I remember the word grow. Let the word grow up in you. Let it become what it is supposed to be. See, this is a seed. And if it's planted, it will just produce what it says. We don't have to do anything but plant it in our hearts. It will grow up inside us and change our way of thinking, and we'll become what the word says. It's really that simple, even though we may not apply it, but it is that simple. So, you know, we have to abide in the word and let the word abide in us. So we got to grow up in the word, and the word, let it grow up inside you. It will come to pass because the word works. Okay, if we don't try to make it on our own and make it work, make it happen, it works. Okay, and then, I mean, I've experienced in myself when I start off in a certain area and I get into the word, and without even noticing it, say months, years, it, sometimes it takes time. I heard him talk about time. Some change takes time. All of a sudden, I'm walking in that area. I don't know how I did it, because I didn't do anything other than put the word inside me and chose to make a decision to follow it. And it produced what it said it was going to do. You know, so God came to change the situation. He came to change us from being poor to rich, from being sick to health. You know, he wants us to be what he's called us to be in his word. And that's what I was going to share on at Christmas somewhat, probably a little bit more, but I'm like put on the spot today. But he loves us too much to leave us the same way that we are. He's got great plans for all of us. The only way we're going to walk in it is right here. Right here. We do have a job to do. It just don't happen. Sometimes, you know, it'd be nice if it did. But the reason why we have something to do is because it's fail-proof. Okay? Amen. This will not fail. Amen. Okay, the only failure we have is not applying it, not sowing it, not reading it. But this does not fail.
Amen.
That's why we can take him at his word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's the best time really to catch them sometimes, when they're not prepared. Because a lot of times you get all prepared, you're like, you don't really say what's in your heart. You save what you've kind of got prepared in your head. Tammy, you ready to share? Look, you ready to sing, Tammy? See, that's where, be prepared, be ready. Because see, that's when you're relying on God. You know, I've prepared, but, you know, when I come up here, I'm like, Lord, I want your message. And that's a great part of it, what Sherry just shared, is about to change. It starts as a seed. And we're talking about your finances. And that law of seed time and harvest, there's nothing you can do to change that. You can try. Scientists have went in here and they're always trying to tamper with what God's done. Now, they've been able to make things change the way it looks or operate, but they can't change the way it's designed, that seed. You can't just make a tomato seed if you don't have one. You can't create dirt if it wasn't here. So that's God's dirt. Now, you can put some stuff in it, make it better, you know, if this dirt's a little bit not as rich as that dirt, but dirt is dirt, and it came from God. He created it. You got to start there with what he gave you. Amen? And some good dirt. As a kid, I used to eat some of that dirt. I'm still here. I ate it, played in it. Add water, it comes in the mud. Mud pies, there you go. Throw them in that Betty Crocker oven with a little bit of 40 watt, 60 watt, 100 watt, whatever bulb you got in there. Just feed it to your sister. We can't microwave a financial miracle. We want to, but we got to leave that in God's hands. Kenneth Hagin was known for saying it this way. I quote, God don't have any instant pudding. God don't have no, I'd say God don't have any or God ain't got none. Good Southern there. God don't have no instant pudding. In other words, all that he has is the real stuff, the good stuff, the real McCoy. No imitation vanilla in heaven. Now, I cook pecan pies. You know, you got vanilla, and then you got imitation vanilla. Which costs more? The real vanilla. But see, we've watered it down a little bit, and for a little bit lesser price, you can have imitation vanilla. What do you want? You want vanilla? You want imitation? What are you willing to pay? You're going to have what you sow. If you go for imitation vanilla, you're going to reap imitation vanilla taste. See, you're going to reap that. So concerning your finances, don't let the devil convince you that giving to the Lord is not going to benefit you. You can't give to him. You owe this. Now, you got to keep God first. When my paycheck comes in, the tithe is his, period. It's his. We settled that years ago. We didn't start there. Now, if you're not there, don't get under condemnation. I'm here to encourage you. It works. It works. Things have changed in my life because I changed my way of thinking to what God thinks. He says, give. He said, the tithe is mine. The tithe is his. And when you get increase, God gets increase. The tithe's got to go up. You start and see, thank God he works by percentages. He gives a 10%. Thank God he said 10%. Because some of us make more than somebody else. So I just got to give my 10, right? God's no respecter of persons. Neither is that 10%. That's his. The tithe is his. So concern your finances. Don't let the devil convince you that giving is not working. You keep bringing your tithes. You keep bringing your offerings to his house, to his kingdom, to his work. And don't grow weary in doing that. That's doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. It's a good work. It's a good thing. Now, you don't give to bad work. You don't put in bad ground. This is good ground. You just don't. See, you tithe here, but still God's going to call you to bless, to put an offering somewhere else, somebody else's life. But make sure it's the right place, and he's told you to do it. And see, I'm learning this too, because God told me 2 weeks ago you need to have the heat checked out. Just to, you know, have it checked out. I told Larry, I said, I didn't listen. The reason you was chilly is my fault, because I wasn't listening to God. He's telling you. And I even put it in the budget. We got the money. I just got to say, hey, just make a call. Larry, tell him to check the heat out. God is here to keep you comfortable. Amen. He don't want you chilly, too cold, too hot. He wants you just right. And he's faithful. God is faithful when you give to him. You will reap in due season if God faints not. You will reap in due season if you faint not. See, the Bible says God don't get weary. He don't get tired. He don't have to sleep. Sleep nor slumber. He's not lazy. He's done something. He's doing something. He's always doing something. There's things that we hadn't even tapped into all that he is yet. He's still got things for us to do past this earth into eternity. Don't think you're just going to be sitting on a cloud sucking you a couple grapes. We got things to do once we get out of here. We got other things he's going to have us to do. And it's going to be good things to do for eternity. He's faithful. There is a due season for every seed that you have sown and that you will sow. That seed's got a future in it. Amen? There's a due season if we faint not. As a church here at Word of Faith Worship Center, I don't think we have a problem in sowing. Now, I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at your tithe amount. Our treasurer keeps up with all this, and she's not looking at it as far as judging you. She's just keeping that things documented. God is the one that's watching. He's the one you're to please, not us. You please God, and he is there to make things work in your life. But I don't think we have a problem here with sowing because our finances show it. Because the ending year statement shows it. Because we haven't gained a lot of bodies, but we didn't lose any income. Amen? That means you're still giving. You're still believing in this God of miracles. Because I budgeted us to do around 56,000 this year, and we actually did around 58,600. That's called increase. Increase. And see, a lot of times when I sit down and I'm thinking about a budget, my mind wants to say, well, budget a little bit more than what you did last year, because you want to have a budget because that's your goal, and then from that goal, you want to do some things. Well, I want to hear from God. I don't want to set my mind to budget less. He's here to challenge us this year for great things. And I've got to challenge you. I got to challenge myself and believe Him. He's going to try to stretch us a little bit, change us a little bit in these areas. What we did last year was awesome, but I believe we can do better. God knows we can do better. He created us for increase. He said, be fruitful. Just sit there. He said, be fruitful, multiply. Multiply. Not just babies in numbers, in all that you do. Multiplication. Multiply. In your chickens, in your cattle, in your oxen, in your body. Multiply. And I believe we're going to do a lot better this year regarding not our sowing, and we're all going to do better than that, but in our receiving, in our harvesting. Because I'm learning a little bit about this. I'm learning some more things. But Pastor, I thought it's up to the Lord to bring in the harvest. Now, He's the Lord of the harvest. But, Lewis, if you plant you some tomatoes, and then they grow up on the vine, you say, come on over here, and the Lord's going to give you some tomatoes today. Well, is Jesus going to come down and give me some of His tomatoes? I think Lewis is probably going to have those things picked, and they're going to be all washed and shine, sitting on his, probably right there in front of his window, because the tomato is actually a fruit, because when you pick it, it continues to ripen. I used to be a produce manager, that's why I know things like that. I learned a few things. Food line. So they ripen. It ripens off the vine. And he's going to have me some pretty tomatoes. The ugly ones now, he's going to keep for himself. We'll cut them up and throw them away. Because he's going to always, God's people, we give our best. And we keep the less because we're going to give our best. And in doing that, we're going to reap God's best. But see, Jesus, it's up to us to go out here and get our harvest. Now, Miss Sherry talked a little bit about it here on Wednesday night. It has a lot to do with what we're saying. If we faint not in what we say. What we say. We got to watch what we say. Because what's coming out of our heart, and it's a lot of times it's in our head. Some things somebody was just talking about something. Next thing you know, you said the same thing. You're like, where'd that come from? It was in your head. But when something comes out of your heart and you say it, you got it. I mean, you know, some things you just say with your head, don't think you're going to reap that. But when you believe it in your heart and you speak it and you mix faith with it, you're going to get it. Amen. See, I won't go that path, but that's a spiritual law. Spiritual law, but you got to believe it in your heart. It starts in your heart. It's a matter of the heart. So it's not up to the Lord. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Let's read Genesis in the beginning. We're going to come back. Genesis chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 20 and 22. Genesis 8, 20 and 22. This is the covenant that God cut with Noah after the flood. And this is after they came off of the ark. This is after the waters done succeeded. You know, we've been past a lot of rain here lately. Think about Noah. He had that rain for 30 days, 30 nights, and it was a lot more than what we were getting. You couldn't even see the earth anywhere. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. We're talking about your finances when you bring them, when you sow. To the Lord, it smells good. Your money smells good. Is it the money? No, it's your life. Man, that smells good. My children. Do you feel good when your children obey and do what they tell you to do? You're like, man, I'd like to have 5 more children. Then you think about 10 minutes and say, no, I think 2's enough. But when your kids do something that you've trained them to do for 18 years and they do it on their own, you're like, praise God, the Word of God is working. You knew it was working, but it's like now they're believing it and they're doing it. Well, this is what the Lord thought about Noah when he brought that sacrifice. The Lord said in his heart, look at here, then the Lord said in his heart, I will never, 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 never again curse the ground. Was the flood a curse or a blessing? It was a curse. Curse the ground for man's sake. See, God didn't curse the earth because he wanted to. It was because sin was on the earth, because of man's sake. Although from his youth, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, there's that sin nature, nor will I again destroy every living thing that I have done. Here's your key to sowing and reaping. Verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat. We had a little bit of that cold this morning. Winter and summer, day and night, shall not cease. As long as this earth remains, that's a law. You can get every day, every morning that sun's coming up. It might be cloudy, you can't see it, but it's there. And the moon's going to come out. And it's going to be cold and it's going to be hot. So we can pray for certain temperatures, but we can't pray it won't get cold, because that's against the Word of God. Amen? It's going to get cold, it's going to get hot. Now you can go somewhere where it's colder, or you can go somewhere where it's hotter, but you can't change cold and hot. Because God's Word says it right there. Then you can't change when you put something in the ground, when you bring God your best and your finances. That's a covenant. God saw it. He's going to bless it. And you can't change it. You can't change His heart. But you can change your harvest by your heart if you faint. Amen? See, this is where we got to see everything that happens, it's not God's problem. It's not His fault. It's our fault. Because He's good. He's covenant. He doesn't lie. So according to what we just read in the Bible, sowing and reaping is our covenant promise. Covenant. As long as this earth's here, we got a covenant with God. From Almighty God. The Almighty. Whatever you have given to Him and to His work, you also need to be thinking about receiving a harvest. Because this is a spiritual law. And if you're not, God's not pleased. Because that's His law. He set it to be that way. For you to multiply. For me to multiply. But you're not just supposed to get what you sowed. According to His Word, it should be in the form of, help me, 30, 60, 100-fold. So there's three categories there. And we talk about this. Which category you want to be in? That's a little weak. If I got a $50 bill and I got a $100 bill, Larry, and I take it out of my wallet, which one you want, Larry? That's wisdom right there. Praise God. I want both of them. Praise the Lord. I like that answer. Amen. God is a faithful Father. He's got $30. He's got 60, and He's got 100 in His wallet. Which one you want? Larry says he wants it all. And more to give. See, there's the attitude of the heart. Amen. And give Michelle one. Amen. God's faithful. He keeps His promises from generation to generation. Let's read Jeremiah 33:20. And let's look in just verses 19 and 20. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, God's word says something. Your finances is saying something. Amen? They're saying something. Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day, and my covenant with the night, so that there will be no day and no night in the season, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my minister. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Have you not considered what these people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord has chosen, he has also cast them off? Thus they have despised my people, as if they should no more be a nation before them. Thus says the Lord, If my covenant is not with night and day, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the descendants of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take of any descendants to be rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, God's saying, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. David's going to be blessed. He's going to have somebody to reign on his throne forever, because I'm a God that keeps covenant. I keep covenant with the day and with the night, with the sun and with the moon. And you'll always be seed time and harvest. When considering your finances, we need to keep it on a level that we can understand. I like things simple. Y'all have heard me talk a little bit about kissing appliances since I work on appliances, right? Y'all heard me talk about kissing those appliances? You keep it simple, stupid, when you're trying to work on something. Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. Don't try to make it this thing harder than what it is. One of my first trainers taught me that, working on appliances. Come in here and listen to this thing. Don't be thinking the customer told you what was wrong, but you got to listen to that appliance and let it tell you what's wrong. Because mama's going to tell you all kind of things that's wrong with this machine. She don't like it. It ain't like her last machine. It don't wash right, and it don't sound right. Thank God for his anointing of wisdom that he gives me to help. That's all I'm going to say about that. We got to keep it on a level we can understand concerning your finances. The principle of sowing and reaping. Reaping. The same way you want to plant a garden, those tomatoes, and reap your produce, your finances will work the same way. We just got to get out of this thing about, why ain't this working? Do you say that when you plant that tomato, that squash, that okra in the ground? Why ain't it working? I don't see nothing. There's something happening. You just don't see it. When we give our tithes this morning, something's happening, and you can see it. In your spirit, if you'll get in the Word, you can see it. You can see it in the life of David. You can see it in the life of Noah. You can see it in the life of Adam. And you can see it in the life of Jesus. And Peter, and John, and Lisa, and Tammy. It's happening. See, your finances will work the same way. Everything in your garden started, like Miss Sherry talked about, with a seed. With a seed. And it came back to you as a seed. Did you eat the seed? Now, actually, it came back to you as fruit. See, you started with the seed, but you got fruit. God gave you the seed, and it came back to fruit. But the seed was in the fruit. See, you ain't lost anything. I said, you ain't lost anything when you give to God. You're giving the seed, you're getting the fruit, and God's going to give you more seed. Man, that's a preach right there. That wasn't in the message, but I think I'd write that down or buy the tape. You get the seed, you get the fruit, and you get more seed when you give to God. Get it all. You get to eat the pie and plant you another garden with that same seed. If you don't eat the seed, so you get the seeds out of there. You're not supposed to eat everything God gives you. You're supposed to save some to what? Sow. So you can give to others, be a blessing to others. Don't eat your seed. Some things God gives you is seed form, and some of it is for you to eat. Don't eat your seed. A good farmer will tell you, when you get that crop, that corn, some of it is just seed corn for the next year. Amen? That's your future. That's your future right there. Everything in your garden started with a seed, and it came back as fruit form with more seeds on the inside than what you started with. Let's go to Mark 4:26, and we're getting close to the end of this message today. Mark 4, talk about sowing and reaping, verses 26 through 29. A parable is a story Jesus gave to go along with a spiritual truth. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God, as if a man, the kingdom of God is if Frankie should scatter seed on the ground." A man. Any of us. This is like the kingdom of God. You throw seed on the ground and you go to sleep. 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever time you go to sleep, you throw some seed out there in your dirt, covered it up, and you go in the house and you go to bed. And you rise in the morning. Some of us rise at 6, some of us rise at 7. And the seed should sprout and grow. Frankie don't know how. Robert don't know how. Tammy don't know how. But it's going to grow. For the earth, say earth, it yields crops by itself. Itself. First the blade. Here's your process. Here's your time. First the blade, then the head, the stalk, and then the full grain in the head. If you think about a stalk of corn, you get a blade, and then you get a stalk, and then you get a full ear of corn in that stalk. All started from a little wee seed, little bitty corn seed. But when the grain ripens, immediately Frankie gets that corn before the birds get out there and get it. See, there's a harvest. There's due season when it's time to get that corn. Or you could have some raccoons. You could have some coons. Or you could have some deer that's watching the corn too. Well, as Christians, when you bring your finances and you put it into the earth, into the kingdom of God, you're supposed to go to bed and go home and go to sleep. You don't supposed to get in care and anxiety and fear like, "Oh God, we gave the kids lunch money in church today. What are we going to do?" That's not fear. That's not faith. That's fear. And you can't sleep in that kind of attitude, atmosphere. You're supposed to go home and sleep and have dreams about your future, about great things my kids and my children's children is going to be able to do because I just put their future, I just invested in their future. Don't you put it in that Powerball $900 lottery ticket. You know what the chances is of whoever wins that thing? I forget what they said. I think it's 1 in 200 and some odd thousand, or might have been, I think it was millions. I'm going to take my 30, I'm going to take my 60, and I'm going to take my 100-fold for sure investment right here. It will work. God's faithful. Man's system's not faithful. It takes from the hungry. It takes from the poor. It takes from those people that are working. They stand in line to give into man's system. And there's going to be one man going to get it all, and he's probably going to blow it all because he won't have God's wisdom to be able to know what to do with it when he gets it. See, that's man's way of that's the world's way of system, and it's going to fail. It's failing terribly. But God's system, Miss Sherry said, it never fails. It never fails. Now, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but I'm better than what I used to be. Amen? And we're believing for better, far better results. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Did I finish that? Yep. Because that was 26 through 29. Seed, if I had this on the overhead projector, you just need to see on the overhead projector right now. Get a vision of this. Seed, time, harvest. There's a process there. Seed, that's your part. Get it in the ground. By faith. You've got to mix faith with all three of these processes. If you don't have a promise of God on your finances, you're not going to reap His harvest. Okay, I'm not relying on what... I mean, school is good. They're going to teach you what is they would call that, to be economics? Is it economics concerning? See, I didn't take that in class, in school. But I'm on another system. I got to teach you how to work that system too, how to be a stock market, how to invest. Seed, that's your part. Time, sometimes it's longer. Process, 30, 60, 100 fold. You don't want to get that corn before it's got 100 fold kernels in there. You want to eat a half a cob of corn? I want a full corn in the ear. It's a little bit longer time process. That's God's part. Keep it in the oven till it's done. Let God, He knows the exact temperature that it needs to come up at, okay? That takes faith. I mean, that's the process of waiting. That's called patience. Patience is right there. That's not twiddling my thumbs. That's me believing God for the next thing in my future. See, I've done settled this one. Now, Lord, I'm looking for the next great thing. I've been got my seed in the ground for that one. Now I'm planting me another. You got tomatoes? Well, I want corn. I want zucchini. Well, what are you believing God for? What you sow today, next week, believe God for something else. However He you purpose in your heart, and then have that cheerful attitude knowing this is happening. This is working. Name your seed. Put a name on that seed. If you want tomatoes, you can't plant corn. You got to name the seed you put in the ground. Lord, I'm putting a name on this harvest today. You said, make my request known unto you with thanksgiving. I'm thanking you that I have put my seed and my tithes and offerings into this plate today, into your kingdom. And Lord, I'm expecting the tuition for my children to be paid or to be met, that they're able to be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace according to your word. And Lord, I thank you, I'm going to have your peace, because you're going to open up doors of opportunity. Lord, grants are opened up. Funds are opened up. Lord, the favor of God is on me. See, this is naming. This is you putting water on your seed now. Watching over that seed. And that's a process. And then there's going to come harvest. Seed time. Harvest. Go get the corn. Because the bird's coming. The coon's coming. The devil's coming. See, the devil's after your harvest, so he can steal your hope. Because the Bible says hope deferred makes the body sick. Hope deferred. If you lose your hope, then that starts working on your body and your health. See, the devil's after your money, because if he can get your money, he can get you broken down in your body, spirit, and then you don't want to do nothing for God. See, that's his whole purpose. He don't need the money. He wants you not serving God. He don't want this kingdom growing. But Jesus told Peter, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this kingdom if we faint not. See, we've got to go after the kingdom. The violent, the Bible says, take it by force. We don't say, well, I guess that wasn't God's will for me to have that. No, you got to know that you know, and you got to sow like you know, and let it grow, and then you get it. Man, we got to go get it. We got to go get it, because the devil's a thief. He's trying to steal it. He's trying to steal it. Example of a great harvest, and we're coming to a close, I promise. Let's go over to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We're talking about the year of great harvest, 2016 and beyond. We ain't stopping with this year. We're getting ready for a great blessing in the coming years. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Now I'm going to try to go through here. This won't preach too much on you. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear him. Now Peter hadn't built a relationship with Jesus yet. This is kind of like their first contacts, because different writers will give you different understanding of the story. Luke says, and it was as they were pressing about to hear Jesus, to hear the word of God. See, they were hungry for the word of God. You've got to be hungry for the word. That Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter, and asked him. See, Jesus did, a thief will go take your boat and steal your boat. Jesus got in the boat and then he asked Peter. See, that's God. He'll ask you, will you give? Will you give into this work? Will you give into the Thailand mission? Will you give? He asked Peter to put out from the land a little bit. And Jesus sat down. There we go. I could have brought my chair. And Jesus sat down in that boat and taught the multitudes from the boat. He had a pulpit boat ministry. When he had stopped speaking, didn't say how long he taught, so see, I got liberty there. See, there's no time there, so I can take that clock off the wall. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out. Launch out into the deep and let down your net. Are y'all reading with me? What'd he say, Cecil? Nets. Let down your nets for a catch. Going to catch something. But Simon answered and said to him, Jesus, Master, Teacher, we have toiled, we fished all night, and we caught nothing. Nada. But nevertheless, Peter don't know Jesus. He grew up around him. He knows he's not a fisherman. He knows he's not a fisherman. He's a carpenter. This carpenter's telling me how to fish. I've done this all night, but I've heard some great things about this carpenter. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they caught a great, say great, great number of fish. That was finances. And their net was breaking net. Uh-oh. Somebody whistle. I can't whistle. These boys were blowing the whistles. Hey! You get your nets over here. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. Help them. I bet Jesus was sitting on that. He was sitting on his stool just laughing. Jesus wasn't helping them. Jesus done his part. I'm doing my part this morning. I'm preaching to you. Jesus done his part. He taught the word. He told Peter, put the nets down. So Jesus said, I'm not sweating for this. I told him what to do. But he's not condemning Peter. He's just sitting there. He's watching this. He's got a smile on his face. These boys are working their tails off now. They've done it like I told them to. And they came and filled the boats, plural. Not nets, plural. Boats, plural. So they began to sinking. Your finances sinking? It's time to get them floating. Amen. It's time to get them full. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at the feet of Jesus, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, other fishermen, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, you old no-count fisherman, if you'd have listened to me and done what I told you to do. No, that ain't what he said. Jesus is always there to encourage you. Do not be afraid. Don't take care. Don't be afraid about what you did. From now on, if you faint not, fainting is you doing what Jesus said, and faint ye not. Don't move from it. If you faint not, you'll catch men the same way you just caught these fish. After that, you'll read the other accounts as Jesus came by Simon Peter, said, follow me. Peter followed. But see, that writer left out all this story. After Peter saw all that miracle happening, here's a carpenter that knew something about fishing. Peter left everything and followed Jesus. Because see, he honored God's word. He honored the man. He taught the word. Jesus taught the word first. And then he said, launch out. See, we minister to keep God first in your finances. And then do what he says. Here we go. Three keys to glean from this teaching. You know what glean means? It means to receive, glean from it, take from it. One, let Jesus have your boat. In other words, let Jesus always be first. First above everything. That's your tithe. Keep God first. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Number two, trust what Jesus tells you to do. How much to give. Okay, then you got offerings. Whatever he tells you to do concerning your finances. We're talking about your finances. Example, tithes, offerings, investments, savings, retirement. Remember, God is your source. The job is not your source. The government's not your source. God is your provider. He'll use those sources, but keep him first so he can use them to benefit you. Does that make sense? Finally, my brethren, Paul would say, finally, the preacher's at the end of this message. Finally, my brethren, expect a great catch. Harvest. Not just mediocre. Get your nets. Get your savings account ready. Get your checking account ready. Get your piggy banks ready. Teach the kids about what you believe in, why you're giving, and let them start putting something in their piggy bank so it can grow. Amen? Catch this. Catch this story in your finances. God wants us to have a great catch that we got to holler, Elaine, come on down to Walmart. They got to buy five, get five free. See, tell your neighbor, shout to your partner. These clearance sales, man, these supernatural blessings you're going to run into. Frankie and Larry's getting ready to go get a great deal on a baptistry pump and heater. God's going to lead them and direct them, and he's going to use their mind. And then he's going to, they volunteer to do the work, he's going to bless their hands. And if they need pay, we're going to pay them. But God is their source. And he's going to work all this out because I believe him by faith. I believe him by faith. And he's going to be working. Everything's going to be good in his house, in God's house. Because I'm going to keep this house above my house. And my wife will verify that I do that a lot. Because a lot of times I'm making sure this yard's getting mowed before my yard's mowed. Amen? But there's a payday coming. There's a payday coming. Now, the church blesses me and y'all bless me here. I'm not talking about that payday. I'm talking about great is my rewards in heaven. I'm doing it for him. That's your whole attitude, is do it for God. Because he so richly wants to receive your blessing and bless you. I like to say, bless your socks off. If you ain't got socks on, put you two pair on so he can bless both of them off. That sounds pretty good there, don't it? Get you two. I wear two pair of socks if it gets cold enough. God can knock all four of them off of your feet. And still your feet be warm. Amen. Because he don't take something without giving you something. He's holy. He told Moses, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. You don't need shoes walking with Jesus. You don't need the things of the world. Amen. You don't need the things of the world when you're walking with God. And he'll bless you. Amen. He'll bless you. 2016, a great year of change in my finances. In your finances, in the name of Jesus.